I'm Paul Wiegraf, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio is a born and raised Delawarean, Robin Hill Page Glandon. Welcome, Robin.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me today.
So glad to have you here. And reading up about you, you were born and raised in Delaware, left for a while as with your career, but you're back in Delaware as an actor, as a writer, as a performer, and a member of a number of professional organizations. Let's hear a little bit about your career, sort of how it got started and where it has taken you and how it brought you back to Delaware.
Well, I've kind of had a sort of long and interesting career in the arts. I was born and raised in Harrington, Delaware, and I started piano lessons when I was 5 years old. My dad was a pianist and a singer, and my mom was into painting, and so I have a kind of an artistic background with my parents. But I real early on I got interested in writing. My dad was an excellent writer, and he was a school teacher, so I got interested in writing and music, and those two things were kind of what started me off in the arts since I was really young, with poetry and short stories and you know, playing music and singing in church and all that, you know, local type of stuff. And then, I just kept going on with the music and the writing. But I graduated from high school from Lake Forest High and went to UD, started as a piano major. And kind of early on, the first semester, I realized that it was probably a little too classical for me. And I had always been really interested in acting, and I had played piano for a lot of theatrical productions at that point. And I decided, let me take a look over at the theater department. So I went over there, and I did very well there and decided to change my major. So I graduated from UD with a theater education major. The education major made my dad happy. And I had a minor in English journalism. And from there, I went to the old Three Bakers Dinner Theater, and I did some time there. I did some summer stock with Olympia Dukakis' whole theater company. So I paid some dues, dinner theater, summer stock. And then I ended up in Philadelphia in a production of The Owl and the Pussycat with Stephen Stahl. It was my first professional job at the Walnut Street Theater, and I just kind of kept on going from there. I joined AFTRA and got my union card and did some film work, and I'd always wanted to live in New York, so I finally made it up to New York, and I did a lot of different things there. I did club acts. I was a member of an original musical comedy club act called the 80s Ladies. Mm-hmm. So I'm dating myself there. And we sang in clubs in New York, and I did off-Broadway productions. I worked with the acting company on Theater Row. And then I finally had an offer of out in Los Angeles from an agent. So I went out there. And I was there for 10 years, but I just the performance didn't really go exactly the way I wanted it to go with the opportunities. So I ended up writing again. I wrote a screenplay with a partner and started writing for magazines. And I loved writing for magazines. So I bought a house in Burbank. I was happy there. And my parents, I'm an only child, so my parents would come out for 2 weeks, several times a year. But my mom had some health problems, and it got to the point where she couldn't make that trip anymore. So I had a dilemma where I kind of had to figure out what I wanted to do. So I ended up coming back to Delaware, kind of kicking and screaming, and I ended up working at a bank job and just kind of trying to figure out where I was going from there. I went through kind of a series of those life challenges where my father died, and then, you know, I had intended to go back to New York, and I could take mom to New York. She didn't particularly care for the big city. So there I am in Greenville, Delaware, and I just kind of worked my way along and got a great night job doing documents with a legal firm in downtown Wilmington for 11 years. And then I started writing again. Hmm. And my mom passed away, and I just kind of got into more of the writing. And I joined New York Arts Alliance, and the then director, Dennis Lawson, suggested that I submit a short story to one of Nancy Sakadusky's Cat and Mouse Press Speech Reads books. I said, well, why not? And I got my first short story published, and I was so thrilled.
Yeah.
And then I started to write poetry again, and I started doing readings. And that was so cool because I could combine my theatrical background with my writing and get my writing out there. And then along the way, there comes my boyfriend from when I was 15 years old. I hadn't seen him in 35 years. We got back together and we got married.
Oh, how sweet.
Yes. And so we just celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary. And he was, even when we were kids, he was a drummer. That's how I met him. We both made county band the same year. We went to different high schools. And he was still drumming after all these years.
Okay.
So we formed this little duo called Too Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I do spoken word, and he does percussion and some other very inventive things. And then I got a baby piano, like a miniature piano. I started writing funny songs and singing funny songs, and he's doing little funny percussion things. And people seem to like it, so we keep doing it. And then we've been doing festivals and Wilmo Wednesdays with Jeremy Hebel and, and Gable Productions. And we've just kind of been getting around the local area, doing a lot of readings and open mics at Newark Arts Alliance and the Jackson Inn. And we do all these on a regular basis, and we're just having a good time.
That's really fascinating. I mean, what a varied career you've had. I'm intrigued. Going back to the magazine writing for a moment, is that a unique? Are there unique demands in writing for magazines that writers in other outlets wouldn't have to deal with?
Well, I love writing for magazines because it's a little bit faster turnover. Mm-hmm. And these days it's even faster because everything's email. And I worked for a couple of different magazines in Los Angeles, local magazines, a business magazine, and then one that was turned out to be a little off color, shall we say. The copy that I turned in got reworked a bit, and it's the kind of thing where I couldn't show it to my mom. So I said, I think I best not be writing for this publication anymore. And but I wrote for several magazines out there. And then when I came back here, I had several really interesting kind of, I guess, serendipity-type stories, miracle-type stories as my life went on. And I would tell these stories to people, and one of my friends said, you really got to write these down. And he would always read Guideposts and Angels on Earth and Mysterious Ways magazine, all these Guidepost magazines, which are very uplifting and very spiritual and just great stories about great stuff that happens to people. And ironically, they were my mom's favorite magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I used to have a subscription and share it. And so my friend Jimmy said, you got to submit this to Guideposts. So a couple of years ago, I sent a couple of stories in. I figured, they get flooded with stories, which they do. They have an office in New York City now, but down by where the World Trade Towers were. And I got a call from the editor, or the assistant editor of Mysterious Ways, who is now the editor. And Diana's fabulous. Now, this is an example of where it's just having to work with a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with Mysterious Ways and Angels on Earth and had several stories published, and all the editors are terrific. They return your emails. They call you back. They work with you to get the pictures you want and that they want. They are just wonderful. And that's just been another big thrill of mine, that I am published regularly as a regular contributor to those magazines. Mm-hmm. And it's very fulfilling. I've had people reach out to me on Facebook saying, oh, your story was just wonderful. I had to look you up. It just made me laugh, or it really made me smile. And that's been very fulfilling. I've been doing that for the past 2 years.
Oh, that's great. And I read one of your recent guidepost articles called "Was a Flea Market Find a Sign for the Future?" It was just a touching account of your being in Los Angeles, your father coming out to visit, and discovering something at a flea market that sort of kindled this interest or re-interest in Delaware, finding a tin with Dover, Delaware on the tin, and ultimately you bringing that back home with you. Just a really touching account. And as you say, a perfectly suitable mechanism for that kind of writing, those inspirational kinds of publications. I want to come back now to your writing and your acting and your performance art with writing. But first, let me remind our listeners that you are tuned into 1450, News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV for Delaware State of the Arts. Our guest in the studio today is Robin Hill Page Glandon, local actor, writer, and native Delawarean. Robin, with your writing background and your performing background, I will ask this always of people with that kind of background. How does your writing inform your performance, and how does your performance inform your writing?
Well, I think we were talking a little while ago about being versatile and being able mm-hmm. to continue to work and use your skills in a variety of ways. Because as we know, there's a lot of unemployed actors out there. And poets tend to not make a lot of money. And, through my life, I found that being diversified kept me working. If I wasn't doing an acting role, then maybe I was doing music. If I wasn't doing a musical thing, then maybe I was writing. And I also, when I was in New York, when I just was starting out, an Actors Equity member, I got done with the contract, and I got to pay my rent, and I just didn't want to wait tables. And this actor friend of mine said, there's this thing called computers coming around, and there's this place that teaches people who type real good like you do how to do this word processing. I think it's going to take off. So I went and learned how to do that, and turned out to be really good at it. And I would work nights and weekends in law firms in New York and Los Angeles, was free to go to auditions during the day, and made a good amount of money, didn't have trouble paying my rent. So, we kind of learned to use all our skills, the typing skill that my father insisted I learn for my writing turned out to be a really good skill for, making a living.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of bounced around between all those things, and being able to use my writing and combine it with my performing has been really fun. And then being able to work with my husband, because, he's kind of death metal, I'm Bon Jovi. And where do you meet there with a duo? And then we found out baby pianos. He plays like baby drum sets, weird percussion instruments. And that's where we found a common ground to make some real cool performance art.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call it performance art.
Yeah. Now, as a writer, you not only go out and do readings of your work, you also lead workshops on how to do that. Can you speak to the value for a writer of presenting their work publicly, either when it's still in its nascent stages or when it's finally fully, okay, I'm done with this written piece? What is the value of taking that and then putting it in the public forum as spoken word?
Well, there's really a lot of different venues for that, particularly in Newcastle County and around Philadelphia. And I mean, you'll just find them all over. We have a really rich writing community here in Newark and in Wilmington, and all of us sort of know each other and work together and support each other. There's a great writing community in Rehoboth. And the workshop I just started teaching, and I hope to teach it again soon to adults and possibly to kids, is basically how to write a piece that you want to perform, be it a fiction, a prose, like a flash fiction piece, or a poem, or, you know, any type of genre that you excel in, and form it to a readable and edited piece of work that you can get up and read and present, because who better to read your words than you? And a lot of actors find a lot of value in doing that, writing their own pieces and presenting them. And writers, it's the greatest way to get your work out there. It's not just sitting, you know, in your notebook at home. It's out, and you can make connections. People can hear your work. You can form, sometimes people form groups to critique. It's really, there's a lot of value in getting up and presenting your work. And my workshops kind of teach you how to do that, how open mics work, how you time your presentations, how best to present them. And I try to give them some really good ideas for some really welcoming ones. For instance, you get all levels at Newark Arts Alliance. Maria Massington is an MC there. She's very welcoming. The group is very welcoming. We have teenagers come in. They've never read before. We have adults come in who've never read before, and they come back most times. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the tips that you give to writers who are going to do a public presentation of their work? Or am I giving away your workshops?
No. There are just some real basic things to get yourself a finished piece. It doesn't have to be perfect. A lot of times it's kind of like stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. You sort of iron out the wrinkles, mm-hmm. When you present it. So that's fine. But get a piece that fits into the venue that you're going to present in. Some venues you get 3 minutes. Some venues you get 5 minutes. Be aware of that and tailor your presentation to that, so you don't get cut off, because they have to be sort of stringent about that, just so that everyone gets a chance to read, and make sure that, you know, time yourself, read your material in front of a mirror, record yourself, see how you sound. And it's just a really good exercise, I think. Even if you're not an actor and you never want to be, say you're in corporate America and you have to give presentations, it's great practice for that.
Mm-hmm.
You can use that for in many walks of life, just for public speaking, and to get over audience fear. I mean, a lot of people have that fear of getting up in front of a group, but I think it's a really wonderful thing. I think it's great for kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids learn how to present and how to speak out, and I just think it's a wonderful tool, and it's fun. I think it can be fun for everyone.
Right. Now let's turn to an opportunity for our listening audience to get to hear you at an upcoming event, Rock and Roll with the Punches, a cabaret at the Jackson Inn in Wilmington, coming up on Sunday, November 4th at 6 p.m. Let's hear about that. Sounds like a really exciting event.
Well, this... the Jackson Inn is a historic, old, funky inn. It is one of our favorite places to go. They host Second Saturday Poets every second Saturday of every month, where we give readings. And it's a wonderful group, and we have three hosts that I believe it's been going for about 30 years. It's a long-running group, and so that kind of gave rise, I think, to the cabarets. Fred is the owner, and Eva is our favorite bartender, and they love the arts, and they host all sorts of different activities for the arts, and they give us all a really wonderful home. About 8 years ago or so, a wonderful man named Bert, who lives in Wilmington, created these cabarets twice a year, spring and fall. And they found a home at the Jackson Inn, And they're usually the first Sunday in usually in November and in May, I believe. And he puts them together with a variety. It's sort of a variety show with artists and poets and musicians and who knows, skits. Who knows what you're going to get, comedy. It's always different and always fun and always an interesting lineup of people. They always pack the house. It's always a really great time. But this time, Bert was had some other obligations, and he let me pinch hit for him.
Okay.
So I'm producing and directing the next cabaret. As you said, it's November 4th at 6 p.m., and we have got a really great lineup of poets and writers and musicians. And we have the Diamond State Merry Prankster Group, who will be adorned in tie-dye. We have an art exhibit that they are going to show us. And we have the famous Lee Zimmerman, the puppet guy, who's going to bring a couple of his rock and roll friends along, which should be a blast. And I think there's going to even be a clown in the house. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And admission is free. There's free parking. You do have to be 21 or over because they do have a tavern license. But there's food and drink available for sale. And like I said, Fred and Eva will be our hosts. I will be narrating. And I will be joining in on a little bit of the music. I'll be doing a little very short piece on the voting that's coming up 2 days afterwards. And my husband and I may sing a little song about yoga. So it will be a good show.
That sounds great. Rock and Roll with the Punches at Cabaret at the Jackson Inn, coming up on Sunday, November 4th at 6 p.m. at the Jackson Inn.
And everyone's welcome.
Robin Hill Page Glandon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.